Attention women looking for transformation. Are you overwhelmed as a stay-at-home mom? Are you feeling broken in your life and are saying, if I were only younger, I would have more time to pursue my dreams? Are you looking for a new identity? Here is great news for you. Introducing a woman-centric radio show, Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio helps you develop valuable life tools for knowing how to get your goals and dreams accomplished despite defeating self-talk. On this mental health, wellness, and inspirational talk show, you will get massive motivation, encouraging nuggets that point you to what you should be doing with your dreams, and much more. African Oscar winner and best-selling author Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock introduces her co-hosts, Marlis Triplett Sells and Maxine Holt Donaldson.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Blessed Saturday to everybody. Welcome, America. Welcome, Europe. Welcome, Asia. Welcome all over the world. Everybody that is listening today, we welcome you, welcome you, welcome you to the Southern Warrior Sister Tribe radio show with our very own Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock, my sister Maxine Holt Donaldson, and myself, Marlis Triplett Sells. We want to first of all apologize for last week because we were not able to host the show last week as Blog Talk was having a server issue and we were not able to get into the panel to host the show. So with that being said, we want to definitely apologize to you guys that all tried to get on and especially apologize to our guest last week, Miss Wendy Alexander. Now, we have rescheduled Wendy for next Saturday. That'll be July 23rd, so we'll get that posted out. But Wendy will be on next Saturday, July 23rd, with us. So once again, we just wanted to get that out there and apologize to you guys that were trying to get on and we weren't able to host the show. But it's Saturday, and we have a wonderful guest today. And so, first of all, I have to bring up my co-host and my sister, Miss Maxine Holt Donaldson. Maxie, what's going on, girl?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Marlis. And thank you for joining the show. I'd like to give a shout-out to everybody all around the world listening, especially some of our listeners in Nigeria. We got a shout-out last week from Nigeria that said that we're doing such a wonderful job reaching out and letting ladies hear our stories there. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening.
That is awesome. That is awesome. We thank God for all of that. So anyway, Maxie, how's your week been?
My week has been, it's been okay. I don't know. I've had some issues with, you know, getting projects done on time. And I don't know. It's just, it was an okay week.
Okay, I'm gonna take that because normally you say, "Oh, it's been so busy."
Right, but so I've been kind of taking. I couldn't move as fast as I needed to. I did go work out. I haven't told anybody that either. But after that, it just kind of had to come to a halt because of, you know, some health issues. But other than that, it's been an okay week.
Okay.
How's your week been?
Well, okay, so, you know, I'm going to use my famous word I always use, busy, as usual. You know, just working on a lot of stuff. You know, I launched my business finally, and it's been a huge undertaking, and I'm so excited and so happy to be doing that and just all the contacts that I'm making and all the progress that I'm making with it. And, you know, and let me give a shout out. The business is Sells PA Services. So if you are in need of administrative services, hook me up, y'all. Hook me up. So it's just been real busy, but it's been a very exciting time, very exciting time. So anyway, let's get to our guest today because we have this young lady. So I want to tell this story before I bring her up because, you know, this is how God works. So my husband and I recently changed apartments. We moved from one apartment to another apartment. And this young lady and her husband moved into our old apartment. And so we have a friend in Colorado that is a writer, and she has a new book out. And so my husband ordered the book. Well, he forgot to change the address on PayPal, and so the book got shipped to our old address, which is now her new address. And so she received the book, and it was at a time in her life when she needed it. And she reached out to our friend, and I'm going to say her name, Deborah Hunter. She reached out to our friend Deborah Hunter in Colorado to let her know that she had received the book. Deborah contacted me, and she got the two of us into contact with each other. Well, the funny thing was we had already had contact through Facebook, but we'd never met each other or never talked to each other. And so with that happening, we knew it was God's intervention. So I'm going to bring her up right now. This is the founder of Beauty Behind Bars, which is the self-esteem program for the once-in-a-lifetime movement. Her name is Miss Tiffany Harden, and she's on the line right now. Hello, good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Woke up on this side, so definitely it's an amazing day. I say anytime I can wake up on this side of the spectrum, Lord, I'm okay. Today's going to be a good day.
That's right. That's right. Praise God.
Yes.
So anyway, so I was telling that story, and then the funny thing is, you know, we were already connected. You got the book. You read the book, and you were like, Lord, I needed this book.
Yes, yes. Definitely, the book was talking about the Holy Spirit and the promise left for the believer in it, the different ways that the Holy Spirit moves and the power of the Holy Spirit, your very walk, your very connections, how God even takes you to the next point is all through the Holy Spirit. So when I tell you that it came right on time, I was like, wow, Lord. Wow. In such an innovative way. Our God is definitely intentional, and he's very innovative.
Yes, he is. Mm. Yes, he is. I mean, what were the odds of us moving out of that apartment, you guys moving in, and that book just coincidentally showing up? So we know that that was God's intervention. But anyway, Tiffany, we are so excited to have you on the show today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And
Thank
I'm going
you.
To let my sister, Miss Maxine, get started with the question.
Thank you, Tiffany, for joining the show. And
Thank you so much.
Actually, I was looking on your website last night. I was so impressed. I heard you were talking about a pen that you wear called Faith. Tell our listeners about the pen and the significance it means to you.
Well, I love that pen because when I wear that pen, it reminds me that everything that I set for my day, that anything that I ask for, if it's lining up and it's God's will, that if I have the faith for it, that I won't fail. I can attempt, I can go for it and understand that I can take that leap of faith and not be afraid about the parachute because I know it's going to open. And, you know, if you fail to have faith, you'll fail. But if you have faith, you're not going to fail. But if you fail to have faith, you'll fail.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We didn't have you tell your story. Tell your story to our listeners.
Yes. Where do I start? Yes. I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. And while in Atlanta, my father, for those who know who Keith Sweat is, he was Keith Sweat's interior decorator. Family line of upholstery and decorating was the gift that my father had. My mother is very educated. She was an EMT, also a respiratory therapist, and she took after the work that my father was doing. During that time growing up from age 5 to about 15, it was very hard on me. Not that we didn't live in the ghetto, you know, or anything like that. I didn't grow up in a bad neighborhood or anything like that, but my upbringing, my mom, she was very much into the Lord. I mean, my grandmother, I was raised in the church. My father was raised in the church as well, but, you know, Satan always tries to have his plan, even when God has his ultimate plan, there is Satan there to try to always throw a wrench. So my father was a very bad alcoholic. You know, he drank. The more money he made, the more women, the more problems. And he would come home after his, you know, work days, after doing what he was doing, and he would just hit my mom in front of me. And that was hard for me to digest because my mother would tell me, you know, your father loves me, and she stayed in this marriage, and she married my dad three times to make this work. To make this work, she remarried him three times, and I was just, like, confused because I would go to school very angry because in the African-American community, you dare not tell your business. You don't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk. Mm-hmm. And Mama was like, you don't let nobody know what's going on in our household. It's nobody's business. So she handled it like a, you know, like a pro, but I was hurting behind all of that because I had no vent, nowhere to vent. So I began mm-hmm. to develop characteristics of a very bitter, mean, bullying type spirit person because all I knew was violence, you know, all
wow.
I knew was domestic
mm-hmm.
violence. So I ended up gaining those characteristics that my father had because a girl would pick on me at school, the first thing I knew was to hit her. I didn't know how to talk my problems out because I saw my dad hit. So I
right.
began to get in trouble in middle school. So what saved me was track and field. I ended up getting a track scholarship to East Tennessee State University from age second grade all the way up into my collegiate career. I was running track, the 4 and 800 meter dash. I ended up getting a scholarship to East Tennessee State University. So I started running track because my dad took me to a flag football game, and the boys would not pass me the ball, so I had to intercept the pass and outrun the boys to show them that I could play. And then
uh-huh.
they noticed, they said, well, you better get your daughter in track. And my dad signed me up for track. And then that track, literally, the Lord knew what to do. The running literally saved my life. But it also, I began to run from problems older because I didn't deal with the issues of what I saw my mother go through. Like I said, excellent mom, great mom. My mom is awesome. Gave up everything for me to have what I have today. So I'm very blessed and fortunate that I do have a mother that's very, very supportive through it all. Ended up going to college, attending East Tennessee State University. My first degree was in education. My second degree was in clinical social work with a concentration in behavioral health. So I am a licensed master social worker. That's my profession. I have a master's degree and I love psychiatry and psychology. I love cognitive behavioral therapy, everything about therapy. But you would think that I would dodge the bullet. But statistics show that 90% of girls who end up growing up in a domestic violence home or surrounded by drugs and alcohol will resemble that same aspect in a man. So
mm-hmm.
I ended up marrying a man that was 20 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
This man he was very nice. He did not hit me physically. He did not, you know, beat me. He wasn't verbally abusive. It was just kind of psychological and mental abuse because of what I had to go through. You know, he's a former cocaine addict, so that was hard on me. That was hard
mm-hmm.
on me being this fresh young girl, 23 years old, out of college, marrying this man 20 years older than her. And then he ends up having a cocaine addiction and staying out. I mean, he would go on cocaine binges for a week but not come home. And that was hard for me to deal with. And I was like, Lord, it's got to be a better way for me. I don't want to see what I saw my mother go through. I don't want to – I've got to be strong. I can't stay in this because I know that God won't be able to use me in this. But he took the mess and made a message and made a platform out of it because – you know, I was Mrs. Tennessee, the first African-American Mrs. Tennessee, United States, first African-American Mrs. Tennessee International, went on to win Mrs. Georgia, United States, and I was first runner-up at the National USA pageant, Mrs. United States pageant in Las Vegas, and I was second runner-up. I did it back-to-back, and it was just like, God used this platform, but I was in so much pain. People don't understand that was the worst part of my life, even though I was getting blessed tremendously. I was going through that divorce and going through what I was going through at home. And I was working at Vanderbilt University at that time. I was the psychiatric social worker for the Department of Psychiatry and Oncology as well.
Mm.
So during that time, God showed me, he was like, you know what, you're beautiful, but you're behind bars. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm hiding behind this crown, this stash. I have to keep it all together like I have it all together, and I'm dying behind
mm-hmm.
closed doors. I'm beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of things that are underneath these bars. And so I created Once in a Lifetime Once in a Lifetime was going to be a reality show, but I turned down the offer because they wanted me to have contrived drama, sort of like that Atlanta Housewives type thing, and I did not want that. So I was,
right.
You know, I got mad, I got depressed about that, and God said, no, my dear, you're going to turn this into a movement. So he told me to quit my job at Vanderbilt. Imagine that. He told me to quit my job in 2014. And I was like, oh, Lord, are you sure? He was like, no, you've got something that you have to do. So Once in a Lifetime represents four women. Once a wife is a woman that is divorced. A wife is a woman that is married. The I in wife represents a single woman and a widow woman. So Once in a Lifetime, changing lives and transforming wives. So I was like, oh, my gosh. I said, this is only going to happen to me once, God. I'm not doing this anymore. So Once in a Lifetime really represents all women within the things that I had gone through. So in that, he began to let me meet women from the casting calls that we would have. I had connected with those women. Some of the women that I dealt with have actually been real prisoners. So I had a chance to work with Cassandra Bryant. She was one of our original Once in a Lifetime and Beauty Behind Bars who actually been behind the prison cells. And I had began to talk to these ladies about what that type of experience was. And the Lord said, you know what? You're going through this same experience, but you're not behind physical bars. You're behind bars mentally.
Mental
and you
bars.
Are a licensed mental social worker dealing with these same issues these women are, but you're able to hide behind the crown and the sash. So God said, I want you to turn this into a movement. You're going to travel city to city. Don't ask me how to do it. Don't ask me how it's going to be done. I'm going to lead this. People will call you. People will ask you to help them put on these tours in your city. And I was like, are we crazy right now? And you want me to quit my job? Like, how am I going to do this? All this. And so and before I knew it, I was getting called literally from city to city to implement different Beauty Behind Bars programs, conferences, and it's just been phenomenal. It's been helping women all over. To this day, we have helped freed the lives of over 13,000 women from mental incarceration and self-imprisonment, all because of being obedient, all because of being obedient. Had I not chose to be obedient, tell my story and get out there, there are certain women today that would not even be living right now, because the Lord literally delivered them out of situations that would have killed them. So I'm just like, the Holy Spirit, that book was right on time, because that's how he works. He doesn't work on our time. He works on his time.
Right.
And,
man.
You know, it's like I've been running with this, and God has opened up doors. I mean, we just got honored by the senator, and I'm like, this thing is just now turned a year old in May. And look at what God is doing already. So I'm like, oh, Lord, 5 years down the road, I can only imagine what's going to happen, you know. But I'm very thankful. I'm very humble. You know, my experiences have humbled me enough. The type of work that I do as a profession has humbled me enough and have prepared me enough for such a time as this. I'm really called to do this. This is not a career. This is a call. It's a mission.
It absolutely is a mission. And my goodness, first of all, let me just say, praise God for 13,000 women. That is amazing.
Yes.
13,000 women being freed, their lives being freed from whatever situations they were going through. That is praiseworthy. You just mentioned that you got the recognition from Senator Lamar Alexander. So kind of tell us what that's about. I mean, what it's in regards to.
Yes, because of the lives that are being changed in our state and other states, the Fish radio station, 94 FM The Fish, is a contemporary Christian, if for those that listen to that station. They were able to hear about the work that I was doing in the city by me just meeting this woman at a hair salon. At one of the speakers that is a part of Beauty Behind Bars, Ms. Tanya Davis, she owns Salon Ice. This woman was sitting there from the radio station, and she was like, tell me more about what you're doing. She gave me her business card, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to call this woman. So I called her, and she had me come in and meet with the Fish with two of my other counterparts, Susan Moody and Candace Van Bibber. We went and we met with these people, and, you know, God just said, pour out your heart and give them all that you would want them to hear. So we went into the meeting, and, like, the next day, like, not even the next day, right then on the spot, they were like, we're going to sponsor this. We believe in this. We're going to make sure everybody in this city knows what you are doing. So I get a call last week from Miss Brenda from the Fish, and she's like, I just want to let you know that Lamar Alexander contacted us on your behalf and wanted to let you know that he is backing everything that you are doing, and he appreciates you taking on such a scope as mental illness. Most people think that mental illness is a bad thing, but anything that alters your thoughts to keep you from going forward, you're mentally ill in a way that you don't. Let's not put medication, because people get scared of that word, mental illness. Anytime you are altered in your thoughts of thinking that takes you off the route that you are going through, that's a demonic spirit of depression that tries to come up and stop you from your tracks. So what we are doing here, we're helping women in such a formulative way through the Spirit of the Lord is using us that without the medication, but he's being the healer. So, you know, there's really not a lot of mental health care in the state of Tennessee. And really, in a lot of places, it's lacking. So for someone to be able to be a licensed master social worker and have such a unique approach where we're able to provide this type of setting for women where they're being healed without medications, but just being healed through the love and knowing who they are and their self-worth, that was commendable in his sight. So he was like, we're definitely going to honor this day. We're going to make July 30th the Beauty Behind Bars Day in the state of Tennessee. We're going to honor this. I've got my seal of approval on this. This is from the Senate, U.S. Senate. And I was just shocked because the letter actually didn't come to me. It went to the Fish, and the Fish notified me. I didn't even know that I was going to be honored by the senator.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome. Well, you know what? Praise God for that, because once again, that is God moving behind the scenes, because like you said, you had no contact with the senator, and just, you know, meeting the young lady that you met at the salon and talking to her, then you go to the radio station, and then it just blossomed from that. So that was just God working behind the scenes. So praise God for that. And that's really awesome to be recognized, because so many things that we as, and not just African-Americans, but we as women, but we do happen to be African-American women, but we as women, the things that we do don't get recognized on a grand scale. And this is something that's really major, because you're an African-American organization made up with African-American women, and you're doing something fantastic for the community. So praise God for that, and kudos to you guys. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I definitely don't do it alone. And the beautiful thing about it is God connected me with, you know, I'm so blessed that Beauty Behind Bars is definitely becoming multicultural. Have to give big thanks to Candace Van Bieber and Susan Moody. And I don't want to forget any other people. My mind's going blank. But people who are working hard to make this Beauty Behind Bars be more than just a race of African-American women, but women in general. You know, that's my focus, and that really is my goal, is to make this be multicultural, and it's doing that. I mean, we have Hispanics coming along now, thanks to Eva Romero. And if you look at our speakers panel for Beauty Behind Bars on July 30th, we have Cheryl Griffin from The Fish, Doug Griffin's wife, who wrote the book A Scarlet Cord of Hope. We have Cheryl Brim, Mrs. Tennessee America 2015. So we're really bringing this into more than just a culture of women of color, because all women are going through this. Don't believe the hype. There are women that are lawyers, doctors. I work with them daily that come to me, and they're hurting. And you think that just because they're making six figures that they're perfect and they're wealthy, that they're perfect, that they're okay. These women are hurting. They're hiding beneath the mask. They're hiding beneath the bars that I was hiding under. So do not think by one chance that this is a race issue. This is a socioeconomic issue. No, this is an all women's issue. As women as a whole, we go through certain things in life. We go through certain things that are demanding, that are stressful, that makes us look at ourselves and say, are we worthy? Are we worth it? Can we do this? And you would be amazed. It's the wealthiest women that have the low self-esteem. And I would, you know, I talk to women all the time, and I'm like, well, dang, your husband is a judge. Your husband is making, y'all are together a millionaire. How can you? That doesn't mean anything, Tiffany. I'm hurting. You know, yeah, but what do you do when you walk in on your husband and he's cheating with you with the maid? Or what do you do when you walk walking on your husband and he's high or he's, you know, an alcoholic. What do you do whenever you're making six figures but your husband's coming home beating you? What do you do? It's things like that that people's mouth would really literally drop.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it all.
Exactly.
And we cover it all. We don't sugarcoat it at all in Beauty Behind Bars.
Right. But that just goes to show us that, you know, like you said, it's everybody. It's everywhere. It's, you know, things like this don't have a color and they don't have a, you know, a monetary value to them. So, like, it only happens to women that make this much money or women that live in poverty or women of a certain color. It happens to women, period. And it doesn't matter where you are on the scale, where you are on the spectrum.
Right.
It happens to women, period.
That's
good to point that out. Maxine, I think you have a question, my dear.
Yes, I do. But before I ask this question, I want everyone to visit us on Facebook, Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and like our page and also sign up for our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. And
awesome.
Tiffany, you did, you know, you were speaking a lot about, and you were saying movement.
Mm-hmm.
And this quote stood out to me about inspiring stories. It's not an experience, it's a movement.
Right.
What was one of the inspirational stories that touched you the most from some of the ladies?
Oh my God, it's so hard to pick just one. Oh my goodness, it's like Frito-Lays. How do I just pick just one? Man, when I tell you, I think the most touching story for me in Beauty Behind Bars, it wouldn't be fair for me to say there's the most. I'll just give you some examples then, because I don't have to just point. To just point one out would be extremely difficult. Yes, I will say that. It will be hard. So I will give you some examples. We've had women who have been raped, brutally beaten. We've had women who have been strippers and have been on the edge of alcoholism, drug addiction, and on the point of getting ready to lose their lives, guns put to their heads. We've had women who have been in multiple marriages. We've had women who are married to prime-time executive men in the neighborhood and have had issues with these men and have been beat by these men. You name it. Those are some of the stories that we get with Beauty Behind Bars. And, you know, I'm not going to identify who these women are. That's why I'm giving you various examples, because I don't want
mm-hmm.
to point out, you know, who these women are. So,
right.
Just, you know, I want to keep it professional, you know. When they're ready to tell their story, they'll come out with that. So those are some of the examples.
Yeah.
Those are some of the examples that come out at Beauty Behind Bars. Suicide. Prostitution. You name it. Murder,
mm-hmm.
you name it,
wow.
you name it. It
mm-hmm.
comes out at Beauty Behind Bars, and it's not sugar-coated. You know, there's some women that are dealing with, you know, I know that we live in a world where homosexuality has been accepted, but in some women's eyes, they struggle with that, and they really get convicted and don't want to be homosexuals anymore. So we deal with lesbianism, women who are having problems with that want to come out and are afraid to come out and don't know how to come out. So it just depends on – every city is different. Every city
mm-hmm.
is different.
Wow.
Every city
wow.
is
that
different.
Is, yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, with you saying all of that, what do you think – and probably – I mean, you may or may not have an answer to this, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. What do you think is the most prevalent issue that you see in dealing with ladies all across the country, because you've been all across the country, you know, with Beauty Behind Bars? So what do you think is the most prevalent issue that you see?
Denial.
Denial.
Good. Because
mm-hmm.
if they could accept the part of the phase of the life that they're in and where God is taking them through, some of these women are in very much denial. So that's what we're dealing with. A lot of women are in denial. And what I mean by that is they're not delivered. They're not wanting people to understand that, hey, I'm going through this. Hey, I'm going through that. They want people, they want to keep wearing that mask. They don't, they're afraid. But one thing that I love about Beauty Behind Bars is they can't no longer wear the mask and run anymore when they're in Beauty Behind Bars, because there are women there that are dealing with the same issues that they're dealing with, that have come out with and are telling their story. So it makes them comfortable and say, hey, I have finally got to a place in my life where I can take off the mask. So denial is the biggest issue that we deal with.
Yeah.
Because until you can face it, until you can say, this is what I'm going through, this is my problem, it is going to continue. I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you make, I don't care your race. Until you face it and get out of denial, it's not going anywhere.
That's well. I'm really glad that you said that. I'm really glad that you said that word, because, you know, there is a lot of shame and guilt that is, you know, that is prevalent with whatever issue we're dealing with. And we know that that comes from the enemy. When we receive true deliverance, the shame and the guilt goes away. But prior to that, we are covered in shame and guilt, and that's what keeps us in that river called denial. Okay.
Exactly.
And that's where so many of us live, because we don't want, you know, like you said, when you were first taught, when you first started telling us your story, and you said something that I remember my mother used to say, and I'm sure a lot of mothers used to say, don't be telling anybody what goes on in this house. And so we grow up with that, and we carry that into our adult lives, and we're, you know, and it's not that, you know, you want to just go out and run and tell everybody what's going on, but there are certain things that we need to seek help for. But because we're living behind that gate of don't tell anybody what's going on in this house, we won't do it. And then we won't reach outside for the help when we need the help on things that we need it for. We
exactly
keep everything behind the gate.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Yeah. And Tiffany, I mean, I hear both of you saying about taking ownership. I saw that as well, that you were telling people to take the ownership. And so how do you think that will free, you know, free one, a person or a woman from mental incarceration and self-imprisonment?
Well, I like to say it best as like my friend Tiffany Williams and my great sister on my team, Beauty Behind Bars. She has a book out called 100% of All of Me, Overcoming Darkness. And she talks about, you don't have the freedom to lock me behind bars if I expose myself. A lot of women are locked behind bars because they are afraid of exposing the truth. So therefore, they're afraid of what people say about them. But if I expose it before you do, if I tell you what's going on with me and it's coming out of the horse's mouth, you can no longer condemn me.
That's true.
All right.
That's the truth.
Why we say take ownership of what's going on with you. Because if you take ownership, can't nobody buy, can't nobody purchase, can't nobody lock up what you own. You have taken ownership of that thing. The devil can't even bother you or taunt you anymore, because when you take ownership, it is bought with a price. It is bought with
a price.
You have gone through what you have gone through, so your testimony can become your story to help somebody else. So that's why we say when you take ownership, not only does it provide liberty for you, it provides liberty for someone else.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
You better preach it. you know what? So what is the all right, so on one of the parts of your campaign is She Lost Hers, Donate Yours. What is that portion of the campaign about?
That portion of the campaign is about domestic violence. It's about displacement, and it's also about human trafficking and homelessness. As I was growing up, you know, when my mom would leave and go to my grandmother's house or go where we were going, she would leave everything she had right then and there and just go and just move. We would have to find ourselves picking back up, starting over and over and over again, because Daddy could not get it right. And it was so hard. I moved from school to school to school. because of just the embarrassment. My mom didn't want the embarrassment. She didn't want to remain where she was with people knowing that she was going through what she was going through at that time, too. And just difficult things that my dad had put us through financially. It was just so hard moving from place to place and having to pick up the pieces and start all over. But I also noticed that the women who were attending these Beauty Behind Bars conferences were coming out of these situations, were coming out of the domestic violence, were coming out of homelessness, were coming out of displacement, you know, human trafficking, prostitution. So I was just like, okay, Laura, you know, she lost hers, but it's going to take another woman to donate hers to help her strengthen her. So we're going to give back what she lost. Not only are we going to give back what she lost, but we're going to teach her how to obtain and keep what she lost. So it's a ministry as well as a donation drive where we collect purses, and in those purses we give back all the essential things that that woman lost during that difficult time. And we put a Bible in that person. We highlight our favorite scripture, and we write a letter to that woman who obtains that purse. So that woman kind of has a PayPal. She has a, not a PayPal, but a pen pal. Why did I say PayPal? She has a PayPal, too, if somebody wants to donate to her. But she has a pen pal is what I meant to say. And she also has someone that's a prayer warrior for her. She also has someone that she's connected to that has gone through what she's gone through. So she lost her donate yours is another anointed thing that God just laid up on my heart to create and start.
Wow. Tiffany, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I, I'm going to say this, and yes, I'm saying that on the radio show, but you and I can talk separately afterwards, but I would love to be a part of that program, of that campaign. So we'll connect after the show and definitely discuss that more, because I would love to be a part of that. Wow.
Actually, we're going to put that information on our Facebook page, so visit us on our Facebook page on Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and like our page, we're going to put all of Tiffany's information on our website and also on our Facebook, and also how to get to her website to learn about her different programs that she's doing with women behind
Beauty Behind Bars.
And also visit us on our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and visit us on our new website, Warrior Sisters World Changers. So, Tiffany, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, Marlis, did you want to ask another question?
You know what? I actually wanted to just, because we're coming down to the last half of our show, and I just wanted to turn just a little bit to turn the attention, the focus on Tiffany personally, because Tiffany's a newlywed, and I wanted to kind of, you know, get that out there and have her talk about that because, you know, we're both in happy marriages, and I know that, you know, Tiffany talked about being married previously, and now she's remarried, so I wanted her to kind of discuss that with us a little bit. So, Tiffany, congratulations, first of all, on your marriage. You just got married a few months ago. And how has your life changed now that you are remarried? So that means talk to us about your hubby.
It's changed tremendously. My husband is extremely supportive. He balances me out, I tell you, because I don't know how he deals with me. I will be honest with you. I'm very high strung. I'm very outgoing. I'm very punctual, demanding. I mean, hey, to be with me, you're going to have to, hey. So kudos to Mr. Ahmad Rashad for what he puts up with me. Kudos, because I know that I'm not easy to deal with, but he does it, and he does it with such ease, and he's so smooth and just so supportive, and, you know, he allows me to be able to do what I love full time, and he's working all the time making sure that I'm able to make these appearances and make it happen so that this movement can continue. So one thing, my husband is extremely supportive. Yes, we're newlyweds, but yes, we've had our moments where we've had our ups and downs, but I dated my husband 3 years before I married him. So I kind of knew, I already knew what I was getting into, vice versa. The first time I was young and naive, I said, Lord, now this time I have to know what I'm getting into. So he is just very, very supportive, and he loves the work that I do. He's right there doing production. He's right there making sure that we have what we need to be able to make this tour successful. So he's the production manager of everything that I do. And I met him during a time where I was hurting and going through what I was going through my first divorce. And I met him at a community service event, which was his event that he allowed me to talk about once in a lifetime and spread the message. And he was like, hey, let me volunteer and help you with production work. You're going to need a production manager. And then that's how we met. That's how we fell in love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
See how God
works. Yeah,
so
it came
again,
natural.
Once again, this is God at work behind the scenes, because you just said something so key. You said, I met him at a time in my life when I was still hurting.
Yes.
That's very key.
God saved my life, but Ahmad really saved my life. A lot of people don't know that during that time I was going through that divorce, I was actually dating different guys in Atlanta and just not living holy and, you know, being a sophisticated hoe. I'll admit it. I can't sugarcoat this. You know, I was in and out of different cities with men, dating them, and basically having, you know, basically one-nighters and just not caring. I didn't care because I was hurt. I was like, man, you know what? If men can do it, I can do it, you know. And I was hurting so many people's feelings, and I wasn't serious about anybody. That was a time of my life that I'm not very proud of at all. But I'll never forget, my husband met me. He set me down. He said, you're not going to be dating all these guys in different cities. Every time you come back to Nashville, you think I'm going to be here waiting on you. That's not going to happen. And he said, I'm disappointed in you. You are better than this. God has something for you, and you just want to ruin it. He says, even though you didn't sign with this television show Once in a Lifetime, you can't go running around doing this. He says, I'm not going to let you do this, and I'm not going to participate in it. He says, if I can't have all of you, I don't want any of you. And I was like,
wow.
He saved me because he helped me realize that, you know, the hurt that you're running from, even though you know who your father is, you're doing this because your dad wasn't around. You're doing this because your mother was hurt by your father, and you think that your acceptance of love is to be mistreated by a man and mistreating yourself. So he is really, most people don't, I haven't even told this part of my testimony yet. This is what, so, ta-da, surprise everybody listening. There you go, there you have it. Ahmad really saved me. When he said that, that made a difference in my life. And I said, you know what, God said, you need to go make this movement a movement for me. You need to stop, because all these other guys and this one guy I was dating, it's always that one. I mean, he had the kryptonite. I said, Lord, I got to get away from this, because this is not good for me. I did not want this guy for a relationship. It was almost like I was being Mary Jane, the BET show. I had the career going. I had the money. I could take care of myself. That's what I was saying. I'm like, I don't need no man. I told him that. I said, I don't want a relationship. Don't you understand that? Get away from me. Leave me alone. So I was actually pushing him away from me. And, you know, and so he helped me realize that this is what I needed, was somebody that could say, hey, I understand what you're going through, but what he had gone through too growing up and not being able to be there for his son and things like that because of, you know, getting involved in a relationship very young. So he balances me out, and I am so thankful every day to God that I met him. I met him in such a unique way, and he was able to minister to me and be a part of that life, that part that I needed at that moment.
Yeah.
So, you know,
go ahead, Maxine.
It seemed like he made you take ownership of what you were doing, and he also probably looked at you, and even though you have a degree in this and you studied this and you was a social worker, you know how to point out these other things in other people, he turned that mirror around on you and showed it to yourself and made you take ownership. So that is such a great thing that a partner can do that for you. So I know you give thanks to your husband.
Yes, I do. I'm very thankful every day, yeah. And like I said, like any other relationship, we go through things, and we've done things that we've been through, mm-hmm. but we work those things out too as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Once again, that just shows God at work behind the scenes, because He always, you know, He always gives us what we need in a mate. The thing that we don't, you know, the things that we don't think we need and that we think we're not looking for, those are the very things that we need to help balance us out. And you just said the same thing that I've said, Maxine has said, Princess Sumi has said, we had our own lives, we had our own things going on, but we were still hurting on the inside and running from certain things. And then here comes our husband at that time when we needed them the most, and they brought the things, that those aspects to our lives that we needed to help balance us out. So God knows what He's doing at all times.
Amen.
So are you going to say the same thing? I was just going to say, tell us what's ahead for Beauty Behind Bars.
Yes.
We're really excited. October, Beauty Behind Bars, we have been invited by the mayor of Compton to host Beauty Behind Bars in the city of Compton. And we've also been invited by Santa Monica Mall. We'll be doing it at Santa Monica Mall. And as well as City of Refuge, where Bishop Noel Jones from the show Preacher of L.A. will be hosting the bars there as well. So we have 2017 coming up, but the remainder of Beauty Behind Bars for 2016, we have Atlanta, Baton Rouge, Louisiana is coming up. We have some local stuff here in Murfreesboro that's coming up. So after that, we're getting ready for 2017, which is already halfway booked up. So that's what the future is. God is making this a really big movement, and I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful for my team. I'm thankful for everybody that's been a part of this, that's continuing to grow and be a part of this. I've got to give a shout-out to Tanya Davis, Sonya Brown, Jenny Calhoun, Clemmy Greenlee, Agape Jelly, Pastor Judy Johnson. I'm trying to think, Kaomi Ray. I'm trying not to leave anybody out. We have so many women that's connected to this that I don't want to leave anybody out. But if I missed your name, it's not that I didn't want to say it. I'm just trying to reference through it away. I'm just thankful. I'm very thankful for the women that are part of this, that tell their stories. Because really, I don't do this by myself. That's one thing I really want to point out, that it takes teamwork to make the dream work. But if you don't have the team work, you can also hurt the team if it's not the right connection. So I do pray, whenever people inbox me all the time, hey, can I be a part of You Behind Bars? Can I tell my story? Can I do this? And I'm like, are you really anointed to be here, or are you just looking at it as it's a limelight thing? Because if we take this serious, we're saving lives here. This is not something to be playing games about. We are not here to be playing no games. This is real.
Amen.
This is real. We say real people, real situations, real stories, and real deliverance. You got to be ready to be delivered from this stuff.
Right.
Don't come to Beauty Behind Bars half-stepping, because the truth will be exposed. It doesn't allow you to play games. It doesn't.
Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. So you have an event also coming up on July 30th here in Nashville.
Yes.
So kind of give our listeners the info about that as well.
Yes, July 30th at Vanderbilt University Student Life Center, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., but you need to get there at 9 so you can get registered, because it's going to start promptly at 10. So if you're planning on attending, go to Eventbrite, type in Beauty Behind Bars Nashville, get your ticket. Also, you can come in person on that day, but, the tickets will be more on that day. Tickets are $30, and at the door, they'll increase. So make sure you get online now and get your tickets. It's going to be an amazing event. We've got 9 powerhouse speakers, and they are ready to bring the word forth. And all of these speakers, what I love about it is that they all have gone through something as well that has been devastating, that has made their lives turn for the better, and they're using their stories and their devastation to help other people and save other people for His glory. So it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. You do not want to miss it.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Give our listeners your social media contact information.
Yes, you can find me on Tiffany Love, the Spiritual Bell Buns Woman, or you can find me at Once in a Lifetime. We're on all the social media pages for Once in a Lifetime. Beauty Behind Bars, we're on Facebook, Twitter. But if you want to connect with me personally, I will pray for you. You message me, inbox me privately at Tiffany Love, the Spiritual Bell Buns Woman. You can find me there because I have maxed out my friend request on Facebook, so you're not going to be able to connect with me.
Right. She's full. She is full. But so you know what? In our last few minutes here, what we always love to do is, you know, let our guests just kind of give some wisdom nuggets or just open the floor for anything that you want to share. And you have shared a lot, but if there's anything else that you want to pour out into our listeners or just give them some wisdom nuggets or whatever, I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. So just whatever you have on your heart to share right now.
Well, yeah, I just want women to understand that it's okay. Quit faking it till you're making it, because it's really okay. There's not a perfect woman, but there is a perfect man that saved every woman that wants to be delivered, and his name is Jesus. Don't front anymore, because hiding behind the mask is really creating genetic codes for the next generation. If you have daughters, they will pick up what you're exposing. If you have sons, they will begin to carry these sentences that you are serving mentally right now. Right now you may feel like you're getting away with it because you're not sharing your story or you're not telling anyone, but that very thing that you're not breaking free of is going to put your kids in bondage. It's going to put the person that's connected to you in bondage. Everybody that you meet or come in contact with, see, people don't understand the things that we go through spirit attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a bad spirit and you can have a good spirit. If you don't handle this now, if you don't nip it in the bud now, if you just don't be real with yourself and come out and say, hey, enough is enough now, your seed is going to carry the torch. And I'm telling you, I teach this lesson plan called Jeans You Wear, Jeans You Share.
Mm-hmm.
And the jeans you are wearing is coming from the jeans you are sharing. And it doesn't have to come from sex. It can come from you just being connected to the wrong people. It could come from you not even being delivered from your own situation first, so therefore you're having a hard time connecting and doing anything else in life because you're not being real. It's time to be real. It's time to get behind the bars. It's time to know that it's okay to not be perfect. It is okay. Stop trying to make people think that you live in this perfect world. That is not the truth. It is not real. You are not perfect 100% of the time. Stop faking it because you're hurting yourself. You're hurting everybody that's going to be connected with you. If you don't deal with your pain, if you don't deal with your hurt, if you don't deal with those things that are bound in you, everybody that you come and connect with will be poisoned by your disobedience, and it's the truth. Think I'm lying? Try it. If you have a business and you're trying to sell cupcakes or sell food, every time you cook, that spirit in you is going into somebody else. You see, people don't think like that. I think they're spirit man, that everything that you touch is going to carry your DNA. So
that's
right. Responsible for that, man. If you're giving people an advice and you living wrong, stop, because you are damaging somebody else. You are hurting somebody else. And just remember that. Get yourself right. Get yourself together. Do everything that you need to do for yourself first before you try to influence or help anybody else, because you're going to hurt them in the long run. Spirits are very real. I don't play games with that. Transparency of spirit is real. If you are not what you are preaching, sit down. Because
Amen.
It's a call. It's serious. This is serious. People are hurting. Lives have to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know what? So Maxine and I, one of our shows that we've done previously is called, what was it, Spiritual Strongholds. Remember that, Maxine?
Yes.
Where we, the show Breaking Spiritual Strongholds. You know what? I think we need to revisit that show, and we need to ask Ms. Tiffany to join us for the revisit of that show, because you just said a lot of key things that, you know, that people need to hear, and they need to hear and hear and hear, because that is the thing that holds us back more than anything, those strongholds. And they come from so many different things, like you said, from family, from the way we're brought up, from people that we're connected to, from things that we just get ourselves involved in. They come from so many things, and those hold us back more than anything, those spiritual strongholds.
Yes.
Amen.
And I'm speaking from experience. When I talk, I'm not talking down on anybody. I'm talking from experience, so that you don't go through what some of us women who are on the Beauty Behind Bars tour has gone through. This tour is basically a preventive tool. It's a preventive method on a spiritual level to help you get back on task, to help you get back to where God needs you to be, and to do what he has called you to do. That's what we're doing here.
Amen. Amen. Well, y'all are doing awesome, awesome work. Awesome work.
We thank God for you.
We thank God for you accepting the calling. And we thank God for all the women that are attached to Beauty Behind Bars, whether they're working with you directly or they are being their lives are being changed because of what the movement is doing. So this is so awesome. We have loved, loved, loved having you on the show today, and we thank you so much for joining us. Maxine, did you have any last words or anything for our guests?
Yes, I wanted just to say that you mentioned this right at the beginning of the show, and I think this encapsulates the whole show today. God is intentional.
Yeah.
So, ladies, what you've been hearing today on the show, please go and look up all the information you can. Join Tiffany on her tour for Beauty Behind Bars.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So, once again, Tiffany, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been beyond inspirational. It has been educational, and it has been motivational. And that's what we do here at this show. We inspire, we motivate. We allow women an opportunity to share their stories on this platform. And we just thank you for being a guest today. We thank you for sharing and for sharing some things that you had not even shared before. So we thank you for that. So we just want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you guys for joining us today, whether you called in or you're joining us through the Blog Talk link. We want to thank you all for joining us. And as we say every single week, we would not have this show if it were not for you. So we thank you for supporting us. We thank you guys so much for supporting us. And with that being said, we are down to like our last minute and a half. And so we have to always give our, acknowledgement to our founder and creator, Dr. Stephanie Hancock. She was not able to be with us today. She and her husband are traveling. We wish them well. We wish them Godspeed. And we hope that they're having a great time. And also, I always have to give an acknowledgement to my sister, Maxine, for joining me every single week. Maxine, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show with me as well. And we always wrap our show up with this. And this is something that Dr. Princess Amy Hancock gave us as our, and we say mantra, but we kind of stop saying it's a mantra because it's just what we live every day. And it is: be inspired, be motivated, be authentic, but most of all, be of sentimental value. And if you cannot be any of those things in life, please seek the help of the Lord so that he can help you, because that's what we need in order to help someone else. And that's what Tiffany is doing. Tiffany is using her life to help someone else. And so with that being said, that's the end of our show. We thank you guys so much. Tiffany, thank you. Maxine, thank you. Thank you guys for listening today. God bless you all. Until next Saturday, God bless.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of the Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sister Talk Radio. We hope that you have gained valuable insight and garnered some life tools to help you maneuver your life path. please join us next time when we will bring you another exciting episode of Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio. If you want to find a tribe of women who are ready to mentor others by sharing their own success stories, get on board with this women-centric radio show from the Southern Warrior Sisters now. And please, don't forget to join the tribe at WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Again, it is WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Until next time.